We're going to probably talk about Rapha today and how he heals us and takes care of us and things that he brings into our lives. Sometimes things come in our lives we don't really want, but God knows best, doesn't he? And we have to keep that in mind. I'm starting to talk. Danny, come get us started.
It's easy to start off.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. And the Lord's good. He's good all the time. So we want to go over a few of the things in the bulletin that's upcoming, and then we'll try to get some prayer requests in. So we're glad today to have Dr. Roger Green with us and his wife, and so thankful to have you folks here. And I heard a little bit of the first service. I'll get to hear the second service, which will be good, and tonight. So you're going to be with us all day. Amen. Also, the Ridgepoint Teens Picnic is going to be from 12 to 1 in the pavilion, and that's on July the 20th. I'll get some glasses so I can't read without them. Okay. The Ridgepoint Teens Guys Basketball and the girls' movie night in the Family Life Center will also be had. You can look in your bulletin. All of this is in there. The Quilting Circle is going to meet on July 22nd, 1 to 3 p.m. And on Sunday, July 23rd, is the deadline for receiving donations for the Gray Food Chest. And you can see the insert in the bulletin today for that. Also, we'll have the Lord's Supper in the PM service on July 23rd. For July 26th, on Wednesday, we look forward to having Mark Leon as our speaker. And then on July the 29th is Ladies' Game Night, and there's a sign-up out in the lobby for that if you ladies want to sign up to come to that. On Sunday, July the 30th, we'll be having our homemade ice cream and dessert social. So a lot of people look forward to that each year. So that's a few of the announcements that are in the bulletin. You can read further there. Our prayer requests is, of course, we're still praying for Bob Daniels. And I understand that he is slowly getting his strength back little by little. His blood's still not building as fast as they would like for it to. But remember him. Miss Judy Whitson is still taking treatments, and we're praying for her healing. Jerry Scalf is over in the Jonesboro. I can't remember the name of the place he's over there. 4 Oaks, that's right. He's at 4 Oaks getting rehab, trying to get his strength back. Randy and Pat Scalf. Joe, you have any updates on them? Okay. All right. And of course, Joe's wife, Pat Shaw. And then we need to continue to pray for Wanda Huskins, Miss Kim Brummett, and Harold's sister, who has now got some treatments lined up that she's going to start on. So we're praying for these, and Verta Blevins also is still on our list. And also today, Miss Kim would like for us to pray for her sister's church, and this is Bethsaida Methodist Church, and it was flooded. Okay. So let's pray for those folks. A lot of people live in areas that got some flooding off all this rain, so we need to remember them. And I've never had a flood problem where I live, but the people that I know that has, it's a terrible thing. So we need to lift them up in prayer. And last but not least, we need congratulations to Jared and Jody Herdman. They got married yesterday, and I understand everything just went well there. And then our pastor and his wife and two girls are gone on vacation, so we need to pray for them. The Lord will give them safety and bring them back. So, is there anyone else by an uplifted hand that you have something you'd like to pray about? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, God, thanking you for loving us. Lord, we thank you that you came, you went to that old rugged cross, and you shed your blood for us, God. Lord, for the human race that had no hope. But Lord, you shed your precious blood, God, that we might have our sins forgiven. Father, I ask you today to be with us as we have a Sunday school hour and then a preaching hour. Father, I would ask you that you bless it, and God, that you just have the Brother Steve and Brother Green to give us those things that we need from you. And Father, may your hand guide each and everything that goes on here. Lord, we want to give glory to you. And Father, we do remember our sick. Remember those, Father, that some of them have long-term illnesses, some of them, dear God, short-term. But Lord, we have a lot of folks that are suffering in our midst, and we offer them up, Lord. We hold this list up to you and ask that you bless them, each and every one. And God, for this church that's been flooded out, God, we pray that you'll be with that congregation, and Lord, help them to get things cleaned up and back in order. Thank you again for loving us. Lord, we just pray for your presence, your guide, Lord, here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Need to pray for those needs and these people that get flooded. I dealt with that early on in West Virginia. It was when I was a child. We flooded every year, sometimes twice a year. Aggravating to clean up. But anyway, Pastor Green's wife's from West Virginia. So, you know, Pastor Herdman and myself and West Virginia people's starting to show up pretty good around here. So anyway, glad to have you folks. Even though Pastor, I don't know, he just have to watch what he says about his friends. Anyway, Pastor Herdman, he didn't lose a son. He gained a daughter this week. So everybody congratulate him when you see him. Say, what are you going to do with that new daughter? But anyway, that's what happens. Time march on. We gain son-in-laws and daughters-in-laws. And I got the best son-in-law ever, Shannon Barker. Now, that boy's answered prayer. Anyway, let's get on with the lesson. Jehovah Jireh, last week, we've been looking at the names of God in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And we're going to look at Jehovah Rapha today, the Lord that healeth, the Lord that healeth. Now, that's not necessarily just healing medically. That's healing. It can be healing a lot of scars that people carry around with them. We have things that happens in life in many situations in families today. We can see broken families that need to be healed. The family unit that most of us are used to having in the past is almost a thing of the past. People have families and broken families, and you see children from broken homes, And that needs to be healed. That's a big healing that needs to be done in this country. I believe that our nation needs to be healed. I think the leadership and the things that are going on, things that we don't know. I just see little bits of it where I deal with all the agencies in the mining and the energy business. There's stuff that is just wrong. And there's no reasoning behind it, but somebody thinks that's the way it should be to save a tree or save the animals or whatever. But, and I'm for that, but when you start seeing thousands of people laid off and that kind of thing, and it's just not right. People's not looking in the right direction. But anyway, all kinds of things, our government, our lives, our friends, our family, there's all kinds of situation, mental healing, healing from poverty, healing from whatever it may be. There's many meanings that we can look at. But in today's lesson, I wanted to take a look at needs that God... Now, we have to realize, and we all do, that God knows all from the beginning to the end. And sometimes things come in our life and we wonder... We ask that question, why God? And I think God knows our frame. He knows we're just sinners saved by grace. And the flesh wants to know why. And things has happened in my life in the last couple years and 3 years or so. And I say, I got to the point to where I said, I'm not going to ask why anymore. I'm just going to say, it's your business, God. You take this the direction that you want to take it. Now that's hard because again, we want to all give it to the Lord, and then the next day, instead of letting him keep it, we want to go back there and pick it up and wool with it. We're flesh, and we want to worry and knit. And Grandma used to say that. Well, you're just knitting on that, or what else did she say? Something else. But anyway, we that's just who we are, and ain't nobody in here any different than when you got troubles. Do we run to the Lord first? And a sad thing about it is we don't. A lot of times we think we can solve it ourselves. I'm a fixer. I'm an engineer. I figure out things for people, and one of that's just who I am. I just do the numbers and do the facts and say, here it is, and this is how you fix it. Well, it's not that cut and dry when it's God's business. It's God's business. We don't know the beginning from the end like he sees tomorrow. We don't. We can't see past the minute. And sometimes something will happen and you think, how is God allowing that to happen? We question it. And then we look at the nation of Israel. We're going to do that here in a minute. And we've read these stories before and how these people whined. Well, we're not a whole lot different. I mean, we can point fingers at them, but we got 3 or 4 pointing back at us. I mean, we can say, oh, well, look what they did to Moses. Look what they said to him. Well, they knew at this point, we're going to be talking about where they didn't have any water. And they went to the spring of Marah, which means bitter, and hoping that they could get water for a couple million people. Think about that. They just seen the Red Sea experience, just had a mountaintop. Moses holding his hands up and all the whole story around the crossing the sea there on dry land. And here they are, a week or so out, and they start murmuring because there is no water. And they start questioning, why would God allow this to happen? Well, we can do the same thing in our lives. But God provides in ways that we don't understand. Healing ways that we don't understand. Providing ways. I've seen provisions in the last 3 or 4 years in all kinds of different ways in my life. And not only in health, but in finances, in my family being blessed. How can you count all your children in church, serving God, teaching classes, and your grandbabies too are all saved? I mean, what's important here? I can praise the Lord over that all day long. But then we have a little trouble come along, and then we just get so down. We forget about all them blessings. And we just get just plumb under the bed, suffering with some kind of affliction or something that's happened to somebody or me or a friend or whoever it may be. And we blame somebody. We don't want to take the blame for anything. And sometimes it's our own fault on some of these things. I mean, there was times in my life that I wanted to go out and buy something and God wouldn't allow me to buy it. You pray about it. Well, see, that's the key. You got to pray. You got to ask God, what should I do with this? Should I buy this refrigerator now? I mean, it gets down to that. Should I buy this washer and dryer now? In today's world where stuff costs so much, I don't know how young people get started. And without prayer and talking about it and bringing it before God and trying to get an answer, say, God, what should I do with this? That's where the nation of Israel, they didn't do. So we look at the story in Exodus. We go to Exodus chapter 15 is where we're going to be. In verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and when they were 3 days in the wilderness, they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they came to Marah. Moses brought them to Marah. Moses was guided by God. They brought him to Marah. He did. God and Moses. Now, you can look up and say, well, okay. Why would he bring him over to a spring that the water wasn't worth a cracker? And we know the story. It has nothing to do with throwing a tree limb in there. There's significant connections to the New Testament with that, I believe, for salvation on a wooden cross. But it was what God did that day. Not the tree limb, not Moses. And Moses wanted the nation of Israel to understand that. It was another proving ground for God to prove to the nation of Israel that he is the provider, that he was going to take care of them in the desert. Well, we know that later on they cried about food and they cried about this and cried about that. Constant complaining. Are we complainers? Are you a complainer? Do you know a complainer? Somebody just all the time, all the time. Never a happy word. There's a lot of unhappy people out there. And you can see that on the roads. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old. They blow their horn at me and they wave at me and I'm not really waving, but pointing. You know, get out of my way. So many people today, folks, a generation we have that lives with a chip on their shoulder, and they need the Lord. They need the Lord. And that's who fixed this situation. God fixed it. Not Moses, not a tree limb. God fixed it. In verse 23, and they went. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters. Now, how many places in our life have we come to expecting? We set it all up. We think this is going to be the way to do it right here. We're going to get her done. I'm going to go down here and we're going to talk to them and do this and get this lawyer to fix this piece of paper up, and we're going to do this and that, and we're going to buy this right here, and it's all going to be fine. And then at the end of the day, or a year down the road, or months down the road, or a couple of years down the road, we look back and say, oh my goodness, why did I even do this? Why did I even do this? Didn't pray about it, didn't really let God answer a prayer, didn't even consider it, just got it done thinking, well, it'll all turn out just fine. Well, the next thing happens right here in verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I mean, what a stupid question to Moses? Really, were they complaining to Moses? They were complaining to God, because they knew the connection that Moses had. They were complaining to God. And later on, we know that too, because they say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And on it went. Complainers, murmuring. I mean, I don't want to be a complainer. Yeah, there's things that I'd like to have that God provides for us through finances. And then there's some things that I'd like to have that I don't have the finances for. But am I going to murmur about that? And the next thing we see happens here. Well, let me take us another direction. Let's look at the definition of Rapha a little bit. One of them is to restore, to return a person to health. One of them is to heal a person that has a disease. And we see plenty of those examples in the Bible. To be made whole. It can mean, Rapha can mean the physician, the healer, repairing, cure. All those things. But you can cure a problem. It's not necessarily with your illness. God cured this situation just so they could have some water. Later on, he cures the situation so they could have some food and the manna. So you can apply this across life. I mean, any way you want it. The Lord that healeth. I am Jehovah that healer, the Lord, the physician. All those statements is in the word of Jehovah Rapha. Like I say, they just saw the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, and here they fall out in verse 24, murmuring, complaining, blaming. It's hard for me to point to them and say, why would they do that? Because I can do that just as easy as anybody. I can. I can murmur in despair over things. We can pray for healing. And oh, did I pray last? And oh, did this church pray last year for my wife? I want her to be healed. We all did. Is she healed? Praise the Lord, yes. She's sitting in heaven now. She's healed, permanently healed. So did I want that prayer answered that way? No. Do we always get what we want? No. We have Paul answer saying, take this thorn away from my flesh. Please, Lord, take it away. Please take it away. Please take it away. Three times he prayed, get it out of here. Can't stand it. God told him he's better off with it. And how can I be better off with some of the things that we go through? How can you be better off with some of the things that you go through? God's got a reason, folks. We may not see the end of it today or tomorrow. But we may see the end of it a year down the road, 6 months down the road. We don't know what God's working in the background. It's God's business, this miraculous healing, protecting, giving, taking care is His business. And what did Moses do? When they started murmuring and crying around, in verse 25, the next thing he says, "And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree." He cried to the Lord, and God immediately answered his prayer. Well, I want my prayers answered like that. I guess I'm kind of selfish in that way. If I pray something, here, put it right here in my hand. Aren't we? We're just not a patient bunch. We can let selfishness get selfish about things. I need this. God, give this to me. I want it right here. God doesn't always do that. But he did hear from Moses. Because Moses run to him and said, "Help me here." And he showed him a tree, which then he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statute, an ordinance, and there he proved them. There's another verse in the New Testament that talks about Christ talking. And the disciples are asking questions and talking and wanting to know, how in the world are we going to feed these 5,000, 10,000 people? And they were all worried and said, "We're going to collect some money. Somebody's going to have to go to the store here." They were worried about it. They didn't know what to do. Christ is getting ready to preach, and all these people came by, and they were needing food. And at that place, in that story, you can read it. For our good to prove us and to train us. Christ told them it was to prove them. So how many things happens to us that proves us? And let's just put another thing on there, reproves us from where we've been. These people were murmuring. They needed to be reproved. They needed to be doing better. So it happened. God saw into the future of the nation of Israel. And he saw they were going to murmur and complain right on in to the promised land. God knew all that. But he wanted to prove himself again to them, so that they knew that he was the Jehovah, that he was the only Jehovah. You got to think where these people came from. They just come out of 400 years of slavery, 400 years of seeing other gods being served, many different gods. Gods of the river, moon, and stars, and all this stuff, and all kinds of gods. And he wanted them to understand that he was the one and only God. Another thing to prove to those people at that time that God did it. It had nothing to do with that tree limb. God worked a miracle that day to sweeten that water. And I've heard all these scientific theories. Well, this come off of this tree or this or that or something, and then that reacted with the acid and the water and all this. I mean, we can hear all those theories, somebody, what they think. Well, I have to take what God's word says. And God did it that easy. Just throw it in there, it'll be fine, he told Moses. And there he proved them. How many times have you been proved? I guess a lot of us are old enough to know that we've been proved a few times. At least I have, anyway. and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these desires upon thee, which I have brought diseases. I'm sorry, let me get my glasses on. I'm trying to read without glasses. It's a sight to get old and can't see. I will not put any of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. There he is, the Lord Jehovah that healeth. That's Rapha right there. So we see that, this Mara that came in these people's life, it was to prove them, it was really for their good, to understand who God was. He wanted them to say, if you diligently hearken unto my voice. Now we can look at that. Diligently hearken unto my voice. How many of us have prayed at a point lately where we hear that small and silent voice speak to our heart or our soul? And we diligently hearken to that. I want to get there every day. I don't, but that's where I want to be. It's where I should be, to where I hear that small and silent voice speaking to my soul, telling me, I think you need to do this way, or I don't think you need to say that to that person. You need to help them heal, not tear them down. See, in the world we got today, you know, sometimes teens can get mean and they want to tear each other down. A lot of that carries over into adulthood. We've got a generation now that I think would rather tear down somebody to make themselves look bigger. And we know that's not right. We can say, oh, that's not right. They shouldn't do that. We should go pointing again. We got to be careful. And we can do that in business. We can do that anywhere, in families, out of the families, in church, wherever. We got to be careful with that. But God will speak to us in these little ways, and do we hearken to it? A lot of times we don't. These bitter complaints again against Moses. What shall we drink? I mean, what are we going to do here, Moses? What are we going to do? How many of us are at that point? Pam, what are we going to do? What are you going to do when some disaster knocks on your door? What are you going to do? Are we going to run to Jehovah Rapha? Let's just make this personal. I mean, that's where it's at. Let's just say, what is your Mara today? What's bitter today? Are you going to let the Lord heal that today? You know, one of the easiest ways is for me. I can praise the Lord and I can get on another level with the Lord if I start praising Him and talking about Him and saying His name and saying Jesus and all that. I mean, I can get there. I can start raising my hand. I want to stand up and testify. One of the easiest ways today, if you've got a Mara in your life today, this man right here is going to give an invitation after a while. Bring that Mara right up here, and get on your knees and lay it at God's feet. Because we've all got some kind of Mara that needs to be taken care of. One way or the other, somewhere in your life. If you don't, you're blessed right now. But hang on, there may be one tomorrow. They need one today. I can look back across this crowd. A lot of us has had Mars in our lives. Hard ones. But what do I see? I see people sitting here in these seats steady on. Steady on, holding God's hand. Is there things to come and go in your lives? Yes, I can look back across this crowd and it's happened. And it's happening. I know a lot of us can give that to the Lord at the house, but I tell you, it really helps me sometimes. If something's really heavy to carry, I need to bring it up here and lay it down. What is that, Mara, today in your life? Are you complaining and murmuring against God and saying, why in the world, if you let this happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. Can you help me? Can you help me? We're asking God, can he help us? Can he is capable of doing anything. He's the God Almighty, the creator of all. And he's made himself available to us through the Holy Spirit, through our salvation. Oh, we get so much more when we're saved. We've got so much. You know, we got saved our souls from going to hell, but through the Holy Spirit and praying and seeking God's face, we get so much more. We get the peace of God that dwells richly in our lives because of that, and a lot of the world don't have that. That's why we got missionaries going all over the world and preaching and teaching. That's why we need to witness. That's why our church is growing. We need more people coming. This area is growing so crazy it's growing. We need them under the word. They've all got Maras. You've got kids out there that's trying to start a family and buy a house. And a starter home today is $300,000, $400,000. How do they do that? They're both working. Hard. It's hard to have a family today in this world. All kinds of things. We need to pray for our children, our kids, and just getting started. I think about my grandchildren all the time. What kind of world that they have to go forward into. It's difficult. A lot more difficult now than it was then. A lot more difficult in a little town up by Fayetteville. It was so easy back in those days. I come from a little railroad town in southern West Virginia. It was so easy, it seemed like. Up until about 20 years ago, things started changing. Here we are today. What is our Mara today? Make it personal. Has God give you a give you a tree limb to throw in, and you're hesitant to throw it? God has told you what you need to do, and you're hesitant to do it? Does he give you marching orders? Now, you've prayed, and you've asked God, and not only you need to lay it down, but you need to take God's advice on how you're going to handle the situation. That's what Moses did here, because he repeated what God told him, and it said, thou wilt be diligent in hearkening to the voice of the Lord. Is God telling you something today how to deal with this Mara? You need to heed to it. If we don't, we're going to carry these things around, folks, and it'll make you so sad. It'll make you sick eventually. Because I've heard people say, I'm so sick of this. I'm just sick of hearing this. I'm sick of doing this. And on and on and on. Folks, there's a lot of Maras in people's lives today. We need to point them toward God and say the only way to get this done is take it to God, give it to him, and trust him. And if he tells you what to do, you need to do it. See, it's all back to us. God's steady on. He's always there. He's always on that level. He knows everything. He's always there. We're just over here going. But that's who we are. We need to get steady on our Mara and give it to him and take the load off. There's enough load in this old world. Take the load off. God will do it. He did it for these folks. He gave them some water. Okay, I'm going to quit there. My time's out. I've talked a lot. Thank you all for listening to me. Just pray today that if you've got a Mara, go ahead and give it to God. And you may want to do that today. This man will give an offering or give an invitation after a while. You may want to have that Mara and bring it on up here and say, here it is. I'm done with it. I can't deal with it no more. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. And God, we thank you for how you show us examples in your word, even through the Old Testament and the nation of Israel and the things that they did and the sin and the servitude and all the circle and circle around and around. They just kept on and kept on. They were just human beings. And God just kept loving them. And God does that for us. He just keeps loving us. He's always there. God, thank you for being there for us. Give us a good service today. I pray that someone will be here today to hear the word. Someone will be saved in one of the Sunday school classes, the kids. Touch hearts, change lives, God, not only the way you can through your word. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.